Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours, and a blessed epiphany to you all. Today I'd like to look at dichotomies in the epiphany story. A dichotomy is something, two things that stand in opposition to each other. They don't necessarily oppose each other, they could, but they are opposites, if you will. So if you have the opposite of this, that would be that, right? These and those. Male, female, old, high, Cardinals, Cubs, Lions, Cowboys. All kidding aside, there are a number of dichotomies we see in the Epiphany text. And when we look at these dichotomies, these opposites, it really shows us the power and love of our God for all of His creation. The first one is light versus darkness. And a number of us mentioned today how dark it seemed this morning. It still seems dark. There's darkness that scatters out throughout this world, and so light is always something that seems to want to break in the darkness. And Epiphany is all about light. Light shining in the darkness. And that's exactly what God does when He sends His Son, His light, Jesus Christ, into the darkness of this world. He revealed the one thing, the one being who can bring light into our darkness. And that is His Son, Jesus Christ. God knew the people of this world were living in darkness, darkened by sin. And that they would never be able on their own to find lights that would change their life. And so He had to make an epiphany, a revelation, a shining of His light into the world to bring people into lights. And by doing so, give them life, a new life. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before the first epiphany, prophesied in the midst of darkness covering all the earth. Those are his words. He said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you." Words that call to our attention the dawn of creation, when again, darkness was hovering the face of the earth until God spoke. Let there be lights, and there was light, and it was a beautiful, most glorious light. But Isaiah, how? Isaiah, when? Isaiah, where is this light that you are prophesying? Where is the epiphany light that's going to truly change our life, that's going to truly overcome our darkness? And behold, the star that they had seen, it rose and went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child. Not the star. The star was not the light. They saw the child. The child was the light. And they knew the child was the light. And that's why they bow down and worship not the star, which many people were and still are in this day accustomed to worshiping stars. No, they worship the child. Epiphany is about light versus darkness. The light of Christ coming to darkness, for sure. But it's also about Jew versus Gentile, another dichotomy. The first Christmas was celebrated at first by only a handful of Jews. There was Joseph and Mary, both sons and daughters of King David from years earlier. And there were shepherds, Jewish shepherds. And God, by bringing them to Christmas and seeing His Son, was making good on His promise to Abraham that one of His sons would always dwell in the land. And He was also making good on a promise to David that one of his sons would always rule over God's people. God was showing with the first Christmas that He still loved the sons and daughters of Abraham, the sons and daughters of David, and He was faithful to the promises He made to them. But Epiphany shines light on the reality that God's love and God's promises were not just for the sons and daughters of Abraham and David. Epiphany shines light into the darkness as magi from the east, most likely Babylon, they come. Not Jews, but Gentiles, they too come to God's light, to His Son. And these men were not sons of Abraham or David. So why would God call them to His Son, to His light? Well, before there was a promise to Abraham and before there was a promise to David, God made a promise to Adam and Eve, the mother and father of all people. He made a promise that one of their sons would crush the serpent's head, crush Satan's power. And that promise to Abraham was a promise that the son of Abraham would come through Abraham, yes, but his son would bless all nations and all people. For God so loved the whole world, both Jew and Gentile, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, Epiphany is about light versus darkness. It's about Jew versus Gentile. And it's also about poor versus rich. The first Christmas was celebrated only by a handful of poor. Shepherds in the Old Testament times were often rich and honored people like Abraham, like Jesse, David's father. But in the New Testament times, being a shepherd was not a desired job to have. They were the poor and they were the outcasts of society now. Mary and Joseph were also poor. Joseph, a carpenter from the town of Nazareth, which is up by Galilee. One of the disciples of Jesus even asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It was not a very prestigious place to be from. And so God shows that He does not delight in money, worldly fame, worldly sacrifice. You can't buy God off. He chooses the weak, the lowly, and the poor to shower His love and light on at the first Christmas. But Epiphany shines light on the reality that God's love does not depend on how much money you have or don't have, how poor or wealthy you are. Epiphany shows us that God's love is not just for the poor. The Magi were extremely wealthy, and God loved them too. It's important to know that, especially in the context of the Bible, which often condemns or seemingly condemns those who are wealthy. But it's not the wealth or the wealthy that God hates. It's the divided heart that God despises. And that's why Jesus warns you cannot love both God and money. And Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Not because God doesn't want rich people in the kingdom of God, but it's such a temptation to worship things of the world and possessions, riches. Being rich, though, does not qualify you from God's love, and Epiphany shines light on that fact, that God loves all people, poor and rich. It doesn't matter how much you have or don't have. God's love is for all people. And so God calls the rich, and they come. They come with all their possessions. They put down all their jobs and their little things they're doing in the East. They don't worry about the stock market or the 401ks anymore. They just gather their possessions and they bring all their pomp across the deserts. They bring the gold, and the frankincense, and the myrrh, and they, because of God's love and light, give to the poor, the babe of Bethlehem and the carpenter and his wife, and they worship the child. Epiphany is about light versus darkness. It's about Jew versus Gentile. It's about rich versus poor. It's also about near versus far. God called those near Bethlehem first, for sure. Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem registering for the census because they were of the house and line of David. They were in Bethlehem. They had Jesus. Mary gave birth to him. And then God called the shepherds who were watching their flocks nearby Bethlehem. God called those near first. But he didn't stop there. The Magi, the text says, were from afar. They came from afar. It probably took the wise men some 2 years to prepare and travel all the way to see Jesus. We often see the wise men in the stable, but they didn't see Jesus in the stable. When they come and see Jesus, he's no longer wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He's now in a house, the Bible says. Still in Bethlehem, but it's a house, because all the people who came to Bethlehem have gone back to their homes. Mary and Joseph have stayed in Bethlehem for some reason. They're now in a house, renting probably. Jesus is no longer a baby. The text tells us he's a toddler. They see the child, not the baby, the toddler. And this is why King Herod, when he's jealous and tries to rid the world of the Christ, he has all baby boys killed who are 2 years and younger. Because Jesus is probably about 2 years old now. Epiphany shines light on the reality that God's love does not depend on how near or far a person lives to Bethlehem, or to the Holy Land, or to the city of David, or how far or near a person feels from God. God reveals his love to those who are near and to those who are far off. And that's good news for us today. For how much farther from the babe of Bethlehem, the child of Bethlehem, now are you and I than even the Magi were? They lived clear across the desert. You and I live clear across the ocean on a different continent. They lived about a 2 years journey away. We live about a 2,000 year journey away. But make no mistake about it. It's not the distance in miles or time that separates us from the birth of God's Son and his light. It's your and my sins. All of sin, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. And when you and I look into God's desire for us, his perfect and holy will, the Ten Commandments, we have really messed up the first three. We worship other gods all the time. We may not bow down to stars. But we bow down to the almighty dollar and all kinds of things in this country. We've really messed up the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth commandments. We haven't honored our father and mother in authority. We've killed people with our words, if not our actions. Well, we have committed adultery up and down and left and right. It's terrible what we do. We steal. We may not commit armed robbery, but we steal all the time. We gossip and tear people down. We covet things we don't have and things that God doesn't want us to have. And yet, Epiphany has shined light into our life, into our darkness. And yet, as far as we are from God on our own, we are brought near. You and I have come today, just as the wise men came from afar. Because God has shown his light. He's epiphanied you, and he's epiphanied me. Because God demonstrated his love in this. While we were yet sinners, not once we got our act together, but while we were yet sinners, while we were very far off, separated from God, Christ died for us. Epiphany is about light versus darkness. It's about Jew versus Gentile, poor versus rich, and thank God it's about near versus far. And that's why today it's especially important for you to know that Epiphany is about then versus now. Because Epiphany is not just some cute story of some wise men who happened to live at some time, way back then, at that place, at that time. Epiphany is your story for today, for now. It's not about then, it's about now. Epiphany shines light into your darkness now. And the light of Epiphany will not allow us to continue living in our life thinking that our sins aren't that bad and that God just wants us to do our best. But they are that bad. For if that one little choice to touch and eat a piece of fruit so many years ago brought sin and death and allowed the devil to rule this world, if just touching a piece of fruit allowed that, then yes, your sins and my sins are much worse than biting a piece of fruit, touching a piece of fruit. And our sins, which are much worse, have caused greater separation and greater darkness and the reality of death to be much even greater in the world we live. But now, not then, now, you have come, wise men and wise women of 2015, seeing not the light of his star, but the light of his cross and the light that shines from the open tomb. And you have, like the wise men of then, you rejoice now, coming into this house, not that house, and seeing what this child has done for you. You know the rest of the story. You know that your sins, as bad as they are, and my sins, as bad as they are forgiven. Completely forgiven. And you know, and I know, that this child, who is no longer a child, is going to raise your body and blood and flesh and bone from the ground, from the dead. And that's why we worship him and no other. Because Epiphany, Jesus, has changed our life. Because Jesus is Epiphany. Jesus, not some star, Jesus shines brightly God's love for all people. Jewish shepherds and carpenters, Gentile magi of then, as well as Jew and Gentile, you and me of now. Jesus shines brightly the truth that God's love for you does not depend on who your mom or dad are, does not depend on what race you're born into, how poor or rich you are, how far or near you feel to God. Jesus shines and shines brightly into your world. He shines brightly into your darkness now, today, because he and he only has the power and desire to forgive your sins. He has forgiven your sins with his death and atoning sacrifice and sacrificial blood. And he and only he has the power and desire to raise your flesh and bone, body and blood to life forever, because only he has risen from the dead. And now that is light that changes the world. That is light that overcomes darkness. That is Jesus for you. And you have it. So go light up the world. Go light up the world this Epiphany with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.